want to begin by saying thank you for a little retreat time last week, week after Easter, and for last Sunday. It is different than a vacation. It is a time to, I did a lot of listening, let me just say that, which we need. We do a lot of talking, and it was time to do some listening, which I think kind of falls into today's gospel, too, because it's that, for me, that listening that helps me keep my mind open to what God wants me to do. So, are we ready to have our minds opened by Jesus? Some of us, without any hesitation, might say yes. Maybe we're just so excited about the Easter season that we just can't help it. We'll just say yes and scream it from the top of our lungs. Some of us may say no. We're not ready for our minds to be opened. Maybe we are just too comfortable in having our lives the way that they are. And we just know if we have our minds opened to Jesus that that's going to bring some sort of change. And we're just not quite ready to do that. Some of us may say maybe. Some of us just aren't sure if we want Jesus to open our minds. We need a little bit of more details. Then we can decide. I think some of us would say that Jesus has already opened our minds. This may be true. However, I think that our minds are, if we think our minds are open to all the answers already, then in reality, the answer to the question is really no. So are we ready to have our minds opened by Jesus? I believe there's not a good or bad answer to this question, though I do believe there is a right or wrong answer. For our answer to be right, we simply have to be honest. The only time it's wrong is when we're not. We are all on a journey of faith, and it's really, that journey is a spectrum. There's no point on the faith spectrum that is better than any other. We just have to be honest with ourselves and with others of where we are on that journey so that our minds can grow, so we know where we are, where we've started from. If we compare the faith spectrum to math, which is crazy because I don't like math, some of us are learning addition. Others are learning fractions. Others are in algebra, geometry, or calculus. Some of us might even be learning a whole new way to do math. For those of you who don't have kids in school these days, I could no longer help Cooper with his math when he reached, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade. Because schools no longer teach math the way that I originally learned it. I guess that their minds were opened up to a new knowledge and their methods had to change. I could no longer help my child with his math because I was no longer willing to learn a new way to look at the numbers. The old way of teaching math was not bad. These days, there is just something new. To the disciples, experiencing the resurrected Jesus was something new. I'm sure that there were many followers of Jesus who were not willing to have their minds opened by this new Jesus, this post-resurrection Jesus. Their stories, they faded away. However, the ones who were willing, it is their stories that we experience and that we get to wrestle with in our lives. Today, we are witnesses of the process it took for the disciples to grow into their new relationship with the risen Christ. For us, this process takes years for most of us. But in the Gospel of Luke, it seems that Jesus has his disciples on a fast track because their growth happens in just a few verses. All of a sudden, Jesus himself stood among the disciples. His first words to the disciples are, peace be with you. This is not the simple offering of the peace. This is a deep, from within kind of peace. Jesus knows that when we're in a state of fear, it's hard to be in relationship and it's difficult to listen. Jesus needs them to be in relationship with the risen Christ. He needs them to listen. Peace be with you didn't quite work. The disciples were still terrified. On a side note, encountering the risen Jesus really can often be a little scary. It is my experience that sometimes when Jesus shows up in my life, he's either saying, "What are you doing?" Or he's saying, "I have something I want you to do." Either way, what comes next in my life is liable to be a little scary. Jesus asked the disciples why they were frightened and why they had doubts in their hearts. Now, we know that doubt is just a part of our faith journey, but Jesus needed them to connect with him quickly. Jesus invited the disciples into his new life. He invited them to really look at him so that they would see that it truly was him. But this didn't quite work either. So Jesus stepped it up and invited them to touch him physically in the flesh and bones. Now, Jesus is getting closer. There was now joy within the disciples. However, there was still disbelief. This process. I do love what happens next. It is said that Jesus asked for something to eat in order to solidify that he was real. Because ghosts, they wouldn't eat something. Yes, okay, but I think that there was something more to it. When Jesus asked for food, it jolted the disciples into their ingrained understanding of hospitality. In their world, there was not much more important than extending hospitality. When we extend hospitality, we begin to truly see others with open minds. This new Jesus was a stranger to the disciples, and by responding to his request for food, the disciples could see Jesus for who he really was. Having their doubts washed away and their minds open, the disciples were able to listen to what Jesus wanted them to hear. They were able to listen to what he wanted them to do. They were to be able to begin that process. Again, if we read, we learn that it was a process still for them, but they began the process of understanding that Jesus wanted them to proclaim to all nations the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins. They were to proclaim it. They were to tell people about the good news that comes from admitting our mistakes and forgiving ourselves when we make them. Of course, we have to do the same process for others in our lives as well. It is through this process of putting away an old understanding that, you know, making a sacrifice was simply going to put you back into the good graces of God. No, they moved from this old understanding into something new. That it wasn't about making sacrifices to God. It was about embracing each other and being in relationship. About helping each other with their sins and helping them move into a state of forgiveness and understanding that allows them to experience the risen Christ and experience grace. I ran across something that I want to end with that came from my friend Tommy. I met Tommy on retreat several years ago, and though I thought I kind of knew him, and this is not where I thought he started from. He posted this. He says, "While preparing to move to my new home, I came across a letter I had sent to my former rector, who became the Bishop of Fort Worth. The letter was written while I was in high school. It says, "Dear Bishop Pope, we miss you so much as being our rector, but we are glad that you are now bishop in Fort Worth in the church. I want to share some of my concerns. Nowadays, I am almost frightened to enter into another Episcopal church because hardly any of them are like St. Luke's Church. Many have folk masses. Hardly any of the members reverence the Blessed Sacrament. Too many clergy don't wear clergy collars, and the church is just too liberal, especially ordaining women and gays. Will the church ever go back to what it was? I'm criticized by many adults and people my age about my conservative beliefs. And then he put the dot, dot, dot. There was more to it. He ends with, I give thanks to all the folks who have allowed me to see the world and the church with new eyes as the scales which covered my eyes were released. What I know of Tommy, and now knowing where he started in his journey and where he is now, he is the most loving and welcoming priest, really, that could you could imagine. He pushes for transformation of bringing people who are pushed aside, discarded, into the church, into the body of Christ, and into a new understanding of relationship in society. And to top it all off, he's the first gay priest that I had met in the Episcopal Church who was out and open and embracing the world. A new way of experiencing God and sharing God's good news to the world.